All right, guys, and welcome to the third edition of the Let's Talk Tennis podcast. I'm your host, Tom Jabeau, and I'm joined here with Juan Vols and Martin Harach. And today we're going to kind of touch upon a topic that I think a lot of players don't really talk about, but it's adult tennis. And it's a massive part of the tennis industry, and it's what kind of keeps everything going, to be honest. And we're going to touch upon a lot of different aspects of it. So I'm going to let the guys introduce themselves again if this is the first time you're listening. And Juan, you want to go?
Hello, guys. Pleasure to be here again for the third time with you. I'm a tennis coach at the Nadal Academy in Kuwait. And I'm also the co-founder of American Dream Scholarships, which is an agency that helps athletes. We help athletes get a sports scholarship to get into college.
Cool.
Sweet. Martin Harach here. Currently living in the US, I'm running a small company called Functional Tennis Training, which specifies on personal training online for tennis players. And also working independently as a coach with some players that come play tournaments in the Orlando area. Pleasure to be here and looking forward to talking about this next subject with you boys.
Cool. And just a little bit of background about myself. As I said, I'm Tom Jabeau and I own Morgan Jabeau Health Services, and I am a former high-performance tennis coach, and I now have my own health business, and I do tennis mentoring still, so I have about 10 players that I mentor online. Cool, so now you guys know a little bit about us. We're going to dive into everything adult tennis today, and the first thing we're going to talk about is really the pros and cons of learning to play tennis when you are an adult and you miss the kind of junior phase. I think last podcast we really dove into junior development and the different aspects of that. And if you're somebody that has missed that chance to kind of get your skill set homed in at a young age, there are a lot of pros and there are some cons, if we're honest, about learning tennis when you are older. So Marty, if you want to kind of touch upon what you see for if you're giving advice to people when they first start playing tennis, let's say, I don't know, post 20 years old, what would you say would be some of the things that you'd be really focusing on when they first start to play?
Well, I would say, you know, be patient with it because it's not an easy sport to learn. In fact, I think it's one of the most toughest just because of all the variables we have with it, with the tennis racket, the ball, the constrained courts. So, you know, I would say going into it and learning the first time, you know, take it easy, bear with it, you know, you're going to go through very easy bounce and catch skills, sending, receiving, and you know, you'll pick it up slowly and make sure you find a coach that's going to inspire you, most importantly, I would say.
Yeah, I think it's a good point. I think tennis is a very difficult sport to learn. And unlike a lot of things, when you first pick it up, you're not going to be very successful. Like, you're going to have a lot of frustrating times. It's not a high success rate at the beginning. And, you know, you're going to spend hours missing balls and shanking balls and everything that, you know, even us guys who played our whole life still have to deal with. But I think if we can keep it simple and keep the foundations as simple as possible, like Mike said, it's worth hiring a decent coach who can keep things simple, give you small things to work on. I think that's where people go wrong, is they try and play like Federer after like 6 months, you know? And we've been playing our whole lives and we're not even close to that. So I think you've got to be realistic and keep everything simple. But Ballsy, what would you say?
Yeah, I would say that for adult tennis, for
whoever might be listening now, either if you are not started to play tennis yet and are thinking about getting into this sport, or either if you're just starting now or you've been there for a while, for me, the great aspect of playing tennis as an adult is that if you pick it up fast, it can be a very fun sport to play with your friends. And like Martin said, a key factor, I would say, is you know, get those private lessons in as well. Get a good coach that actually loves teaching and gets the most out of you. And for sure, if you stick to it and you're patient, definitely is a very fun sport to play.
Yeah, I think it's I don't know if you guys agree, but I think with tennis, you have to leave your ego at the door. Like, especially if you're, you know, a full grown adult and you have a perception of tennis and how it should be, how it should look like. And you watch, maybe you watch Wimbledon once a year or whatever you watch. I'm sure you're not watching tennis often. You're not seeing all the levels of tennis. So the perception of tennis could be very, very different. Where for guys like us that have coached all different levels, we understand that tennis looks very different at very different levels, you know? And I think if you're someone who's starting, you've got to start slow. I mean, the classic is seeing the guys that come out and they try and hit a serve 110 miles an hour, never get that serve in, and then end up, you know, bumping the serve in as a second serve. And you're just defeating the whole purpose. Where actually, if you were to take it down, I used to always say to any adult player I was playing with, I was like, if 10 is as hard as you can hit it, you should be playing tennis within the 5 to 6 range. You know, like even us guys who played our whole life, we're not gonna play much tennis above an 8 out of 10 power. Like, how often are you guys hitting the ball 10 out of 10 as hard as you can? And I think a lot of people go out there trying to play at that pace and just can't keep it going. I think Marty Vaughan's had a really good point there about the social aspect of tennis, and I think that's such a big part of it. What was your experience, and what have you seen on the social side of club tennis?
Well, I would say, you know, if we go back to starting as a beginner adult, you know, you want to define whether you want to be a social recreational player, or you want to, you know, set it as a goal to where you want to compete, win some play nationally at your own level. Of course, there's divisions in all countries and different ways to compete. So that's the first thing I'd say you'd want to do. And then based on that, you go with it. You can attend to clinics where you can develop your singles game, your doubles game. If you're trying to compete, if you want to be social, there's cardio tennis, there's live ball clinics, and everything is great. You know, that they say the average player, I don't know if everyone knows the ratings in the US, but it's the average player is about a 3.0.
Right, which is very, very beginner level, right?
Very beginner to maybe 3.0 to 3.5, I'd say, somewhat of understanding of strategy and tactics. Mm. And this is the biggest market of tennis players out there for adults. And they're the ones that are, you know, investing the most in the sport. They're competing at that level. They're having fun, even though they're not mechanically 100%.
Yeah. And what do you think? Tennis is a great job, though, right? Of like being able to compete at all levels. I mean, like, so if anyone is listening that doesn't understand the USTA rating system, basically, I think 3.0 is the, or 2.5 is the lowest, right? And it goes 2.5, 3.0, and all the way up until, I believe, 6. Six is the highest, right?
7, I think, now.
7 now, if you've got ATP points, I think, something like that.
Yes.
So, for example, we're 5.5, 6.0 level here. And I used to do clinics when I was working in Atlanta. I used to do clinics with teams that were like 3.0, 3.5, and they took it as seriously as a 6.0 team would. And they come out and they play matches. I would go out and watch their matches and give them feedback and stuff. And it's a great way to be able to mix, you know, exercise and something that's challenging that you can work on a weekly basis. And I think the greatest success I've seen from players enjoying tennis is being really realistic with yourself, with the level you're at, and just working with that. Because I think tennis can be very frustrating when you have this unrealistic expectation of where your game should be. And I think if you just focus purely on what have I got, what can I use today with this skill set I've got, and then just work on your skill set slowly but surely, I think that's where it becomes most enjoyable. I think a lot of people quit playing tennis because they expect after 6 months to be, you know, top level player, like, maybe, you know, not even Federer level, but let's say somebody plays college and they see that and they're like, why can't I get there? I play every day. And it's like, it's such a difficult sport to get good at, but you can have so much fun at the lower levels as well. Vols, you obviously you're working at Nadal's Academy and they've got a great adult program there. I always see them posting things about it and stuff. What's your experiences with the adults at the Academy, even in Mallorca, but when you were there before?
Well, I mean, not only in the Academy, but for example, I think we mentioned it before in the previous episode that Martin and I worked in the same club in New York.
Yeah.
There were a lot of adults over there. And yeah, just following the same line, one great thing about joining a club or an academy, for example, wherever you go join, it's always great because the club is always having leagues and tournaments that they will set you up depending on the level you have. So it doesn't matter. The coaches in that club are going to see your level. And and if you're interested in playing more with friends or having more competition, like we said, then the club sets you up for that. So I think that's a great thing for adult tennis.
Yeah, for sure. And I think I think when I was growing up, I think we talked about it in one of the first podcasts we did, is I was 14 and I started playing with the adults who, again, I was probably better than all of them at 14. And these guys were a decent level, but I learned so much from them. They've been playing the sport for so long and I had so much fun playing with them. I used to go off every weekend when I wasn't playing tournaments myself and go and play matches with them. And it's such a great way to have the team aspect of tennis incorporated, because again, tennis can be such a lonely sport at times. And I think that more adults kind of drift towards the double side of things, and you've got that companionship and that camaraderie with your partner, and you can go off and as a team and go and play. And then, you know, tennis is a universal like language, like you can talk to anyone at any level and have something in common with them if you do play tennis and if you've played tennis for a while. I'd like to try and give a bit some tips and advice for people that are potentially club level players that are listening to guys like us. You know, obviously we've coached at a pretty high level and a lot of our coaching was juniors, but I think we've got some ability to get some great advice for for people that are trying to pick tennis up and who maybe have us early in the tennis journey. When it comes to equipment, I think that's where a lot of people get mixed up in. Like, Marty, what would you say, what would your advice be when it comes to like rackets, for example? We'll get to strings later, but like, what would your advice be when it comes to rackets?
I would say, if we're going back to the beginners, you know, I'd say a racket that's forgiving, which means a bigger sweet spot. So if you're not hitting center at the beginning of the racket, you're still able to get a somewhat decent hit off of that racket and send to the areas that you want to be sending. But then after that, once you become somewhat experienced and you're starting to get a little bit of feel, you've got some sound technique going on, then after that, it's all preference. You know, what do you like to do? It goes back to all that player ID stuff that we talked about. What do you like to do on court? And, you know, what racket's going to help you do that the best? What do you think?
Yeah, I think I see this a lot with adult tennis, is that people switch rackets so much because they go looking for the answer in the racket. And if you look at a lot of experienced tennis players that, you know, have played pretty much their whole life, they stick to a racket for a long time, or they stick to a very similar style of racket. Like for me, I've pretty much stayed with a very similar, you know, head size, weight of racket for the last 10, 15 years. And I've just, anytime I've changed rackets, I've gone looking for that certain style. And I think if you're going to try and make improvements to your game, you need to have that consistent, because rackets, unfortunately, rackets do make a big difference. If you're going from, a 105 to a 98, is a big difference in the way the ball's going to feel and come off, and the string patterns as well. And so try and keep that variable as consistent as possible, I think. And then just be honest with yourself, because most of the time when you're making errors, it ain't the racket, it's not the wind, it's us. And so we're looking for the answer in your own game rather than maybe the equipment. But Paul, what would you say?
Yeah, one thing I would say that I think it makes a big difference, and that I have is a method that I have used before with adults, and it helps, is using balls either used or even green balls. Mm. If there is a very beginner level that, you know, tennis sometimes, like we said earlier, like it can be very boring if you cannot see yourself hitting two balls in a row. What happens is with balls that have lower pressure, then the ball will travel much slower and you're going to have more time to set yourself up and do the right swing and eventually maybe seeing yourself hitting more than two, three, four, five balls. I think that's a great way to learn and see improvements.
That's a fantastic point. I think, like, again, it's kind of where I say leave your ego at the door. Play with the orange balls if you need to. Like we used to do a class that was called Play Tennis Fast, and like they start with like foam balls, then the next week they go to red, they spend a couple of weeks on orange and then green, and then they move their way up to the yellow ball. And you know, there's so much to be said for touches on the ball, right? It's the learning how to get comfortable and feeling the ball and getting that belief that the ball is going to go in, it's going to go over the net. And when you start with a yellow ball, it's very unforgiving. It's going to do exactly what you tell it to do. And unfortunately, at the beginning, that's not necessarily the greatest thing because you're going to tell it wrong a lot of the time. But something like an orange ball or even a green ball is going to allow you to probably still get the ball in and over and be able to get repetitions of shots, even when your technique's not great. And that just builds confidence. I mean, how many guys do we see with not great technique that have made it to be very, very good tennis players because the technique makes it work? And I think a lot of players, again, same thing when they go, you know, they try and find minute things wrong with their rackets. I think they do that with technique as well. Like, you see adult players, they really, really want to get the perfect technique, and it's like, it's just not attainable. And Marty, like, maybe you can touch upon this. Like, what would be the key things technically that you would say to somebody who's starting a tennis that they should really focus on?
I would say just mainly the basic stuff, you know, just rack it back as soon as you recognize what side you're hitting on, whether it's a forehand or a backhand, and, you know, just try and make contact in front of your body. But, you know, adding on to that, and we were talking about this a little bit before, is, you know, don't worry so much about the mechanics. Yeah. If you want to have fun, learn the strategy, learn what you like to do. You know, that's the fun part, trying to be in control of the point when you're playing. So learning strategies and tactics is going to be more enjoyable than, you know, just constantly trying to tweak your mechanics. And like we said, 3.0 players, 3.5 that are beginners, they all have bad mechanics, most of them. Otherwise, they'd be higher up on that ranking or the rating. So,
I don't know if you guys agree, a ball going in, no matter how bad the technique is better than the ball going out, right? So the first thing I would say to someone is, like, find a way to put the ball in. Like, so many players believe that hitting winners is how you win tennis matches. And it's not. You don't win tennis matches by hitting winners. Like, you just don't. I mean, majority of matches are won by forced or unforced errors, right? And so you want to try and make sure that at the beginning of your tennis career, is that you learn how to get that ball to go in, you know, 9 out of 10. 9 times out of 10, you think that ball's going in. Whether it's at like 5 miles an hour, put the thing in and then start to build on that. And one of my biggest coaching philosophies was always build from the ground up, right? So you build from the feet, where you create a stable foundation to whatever you're doing. You then learn how to incorporate the legs, which again give you more stability as you're going for the shot. Core in tennis is so important. So you learn where the core needs to be when you're hitting each shot. And then you worry about things like, Marty, what you just said, which is so important as well, like the contact point and, you know, the racket path and, you know, things like grips and stuff. But if you've got the best grip and you know where to contact the ball, but your feet are all over the place and you're jumping up and down and spinning around and stuff, and you've got no stable foundation, then I think you're setting yourself up for a very frustrating time. So I'd always say to people, focus. Most of the time we miss because our feet are out of position or our base is very unstable. When I mean base, you know, setting the feet on the ground. And you watch even the best players in the world, they're not jumping into each shot. They're very grounded as they hit the ball. And I think a lot of players really struggle to see that. They're doing all these spinny turns and trying to get their hips to fly all over the place. And it's like, actually, a good tennis shot looks very simple. When you see it, when you see a guy hit a ball really well, it looks effortless and it looks very smooth and it doesn't have all these jumping mechanics as we go. Balls, we touched upon this before. I think I'd like to hear your take on it. But when it comes to like power and it comes to spin and all that kind of stuff, what would you say to what? Let's say they're stable now. They're competing. They're having a great time, but they want to take their game to the next level. Where do you see power and like spin and importance for them?
Well, I think it comes back to what you just said, which I also believe that the foundation is the most important thing. I think if adults get private lessons, one of the first things to learn are the movement on the court and recognizing the ball. That's first the most important thing for me. So along with that, generating power and creating spin actually comes from that, from setting yourself up in a good position, having fluidity and in your movements, knowing where you have to, when you have to get in the court, knowing where you have to go back and generate more power. So again, I think it's not a specific way to learn how to generate spin, but just more understanding the concept of how to play tennis, I think.
Yeah, and just letting that kind of stuff organically happen. I mean, the more balls that go in, the more confidence you're going to build, the more then slowly you're going to start to hit the ball harder. You're going to start to be able to understand how the ball reacts off your, you know, off your strings. And I think racket path is another one as well where people get wrong. And in particular, like the believing that you have to finish over your shoulder. I don't know if you guys have had this where you've worked with adults and they believe that the elbow has to be high and you've got to hit the ball over the shoulder. And for me, if you look at any professional tennis player, they don't finish the same way every time. Like you could Google Federer's forehand and he's got forehands where he's over the shoulder, he's below the elbow. The stroke and the ending of the shot should be very, very organic and natural. And the more you start to try and incorporate spin and power, that's going to very change. You know, if you're hitting more spin at the ball, you're going to finish lower. If you're going through the ball flatter, you're going to finish higher. And like, but it's all organic. How much do you guys actually think about when you're hitting a shot? How much do you think about your finish? Like, if you're focusing on your finish, you're almost de-accelerating the racket at the most important part. And for anyone who is, you know, listening to this and doesn't understand where power comes from racket head speed. It's you're not necessarily hitting the ball harder, you're hitting it faster and with more velocity. And so if you're focusing on the end of the stroke, I believe that you're having to slow the racket down at a point where it should be accelerating. And so I think, you know, as you said, Vols, let that all happen very organically, and I think it will happen. That also as well, I think players go looking for power with strings, right? I had so many conversations with people who come to my office and they'd be like, hey, Tom, what kind of strings do I get for spin? And what kind of strings do I get for power? And I'm like, honestly, it doesn't make a huge difference, especially at the lower levels. If you're talking about the best guys in the world, yeah, strings make a big difference. But if you're a 3-0 to even a 5-0, 5-5, I mean, quite honestly, you know, most people just fight a 5-5 level just playing with a normal poly, and they're not that bothered about the minute details of the string. Marty, what would you say to somebody if they came to you and they were looking for answers in the string? How would you approach that conversation? What advice would you give them?
I would probably say, depending on the level, of course, to a beginner, like you said, You know, it doesn't matter. Invest that. Instead of investing in good streams, go invest in a good coach.
Yeah, that's a great point.
Put that money towards that. And, you know, I would say once you become an intermediate player, you've got some good feel, you're able to send the ball where you want to, then you can talk about, okay, maybe I'll use a rough poly because I want to add more spin to my my strokes. Maybe I'll lower the tension a little bit because I want to hit a heavier ball, or I want to add more tension. I want to hit a flatter ball, whatever you're looking for. But it should be always dependent on your game style.
Yeah. And I think small percentages though, right? I mean, like, you're not going to turn into Rafa if you start using a string that promotes spin, right? Like, you're not going to be hitting the ball and it's bouncing over the fence. I think a lot of people need to realize that. When you know, I think tension is a big one. For me, tension does make a huge difference, no matter what level you're at. If you've got a racket that's strung at 60 and then you pick one up that's strung at 45, that's going to make a huge difference to the way that you're going to feel the ball. But when it comes to strings, for me, it's small percentages. It might make a little bit of a difference. But as you said, I think you're better off going to invest in a good coach or doing a team practice or even listening to a podcast trying to improve your game that way rather than going to the equipment. Another thing as well, I think that a lot of adults do, especially when I was in my time in the States, that I was finding that a lot of adults would only be on court if they were playing with a coach. It was even a team practice or it was a private lesson. And we talked about this again with the juniors, and I saw the same problem there, but it's like, go out and play with each other. Go out and just do some drills with each other. I mean, most adult players now that have been playing for a little bit, done some classes, you're going to know some drills, some basic drills. Go out there, practice your volleys and stuff. And I think, like I said before, just touches on the ball is so important. And the more you can get out there and just hit, I think that's for me. I don't know what you guys, if you guys feel the same way.
Yeah, 100%. You know, brings us back to when we're talking about the juniors, just go out there, play and experiment and see where you're at, test yourself. But, you know, I do see the side on the adults where they like being with the coach on court. They like the organized structure of a class. And that's more of a, you know, recreational social player. And, you know, the competitive players as well, they like that structure, having that coach on the court and, you know, talking to them about the lineup and, you know, how to 100%. Play. Yeah. So, I mean, I've had many late night conversations with teams to, you know, to decide what the lineup was going to be. And they take it very serious, like you said.
Yeah. So, and it's a great point. You know, team coaching and private lessons, again, great things, just like we said with the junior stuff, but it doesn't need to be every time you step on court, right? I think it's a big thing to say. It's like, go out and practice what your coach has told you to do. Go out there, and because when you go out and you play for your team, your coach ain't there to be able to tell you what to do anymore. You know, you've got to go out there and be vulnerable with it.
Let me add something just to that. Just giving, just for the adults that might be listening, when you are taking a private lesson, which I think all three recommend to invest some money on that if you're really interested. But what happens, what the reason why we're saying that is also good for yourself to go with a friend and play by yourself is because when you play with a coach a lot doing private lessons, a coach is always going to give you the perfect ball for you to hit. It's going to always be a ball that he wants you to make that ball, you know, to have a quality ball. But when you're playing with a friend, things changes, you know, because, your friend is not giving you a very nice ball, is probably going a little bit out. So that's why also there's a good thing to combine between both things.
That's an amazing point, yeah. And good, I think, point. I used to really home in this part of it as well. I think this is something that's overlooked for juniors and for adult tennis players, is learning how to perceive a ball. And the way I explain it to people is that you get some players that are reactive, so they wait for the ball to literally scream at them to tell them what to do, and then they react to the ball. And then you've got proactive players, like what we naturally would do, where our movement is already started. Most of the time, before they've even hit the ball, we're trying to read the play. We're all, you know, our recovery would be set to where we anticipate the next ball is going to be going. Our first step is so important because we're anticipating where we're going. We're trying to gain as much time on the ball as possible. And I think if you can learn to slow tennis down by giving yourself more time on the ball, anyone's ever been coached by me, the two biggest things I say in tennis are time and space, right? And the more time you can give yourself on the ball, the more comfortable you're going to be. And so going back to that reactive versus proactive, if you're somebody who is hitting and you realize that actually you're waiting until the ball bounces on your side of the net to start moving, you're going to feel very rushed and tennis is going to feel very fast and very uncomfortable. But if you can start to do things where, like you said, Vols, where you start to try and read shots and you start to try and you get to learn how to read the junk and you get to learn how to read poor technique, you're going to have more time. You're going to be faster around the court. Great movers aren't necessarily the fastest people if you put them in a sprint, but they're very good at anticipating. They're very good at trying to be ahead of the play. And I just call it proactive tennis. You're just basically trying to be proactive. You're trying to understand what's going to happen before it happens.
Yeah, that's a great point there. I always encourage that. What you just said, I'm just going to emphasize so that people can hear it again. Just going out there and experimenting with someone else and just slowing down the point, putting time on your side, slowing it down. You'll get more reps in and you'll see more patterns of play, which will lead to eventually learning how to anticipate the ball. That's how you would really learn how to, you know, step up your game, I would say. I don't know what you guys think about that.
Yeah, I mean, it's like things like I used to get like adult players playing, and before the ball went over the net coming to them, I would get them to shout out forehand or backhand. They've got to tell me if it's going to be a forehand or a backhand before the ball goes over the net, before it comes to them. So I can see that they're actually reading the play and not just reacting. The racket comes back so much earlier then because they already know it's... If you watch us play, our rackets are coming back so early because we already know what's happening. We already know. Tennis is not a guessing game. We're not guessing in tennis, right? Like, how often are you having to guess where the shot's going? Only really when the ball's on top of the net and the guy's about to nail the ball at you, you might have to guess either way. But most of the time, we know where the ball's going. It's not about trying to outwit your opponent. It's more about, can you execute the game plan better than the other person? And I think that's a really, if anyone is listening to this and anyone is starting tennis, it's like, if you can learn that part of it and you can understand that if you're playing against someone decent, they're going to know what you're doing, and that's fine. But it's developing a game plan that even if they know what you're doing, you get to execute it to a level where they can't do anything about it anyway, you know? Do you think Nadal and Federer know what each other are going to do? They play each other enough times, right? Nadal knows exactly what he's going to do when he plays against Federer, and Federer knows exactly what he's going to do when he plays against Nadal. But still, one of them has to win, right? And it comes down to the execution of the game plan. So, before we wrap it up, you know, like, just if you just give maybe one final bit of advice to somebody. I'm glad the direction this went. It kind of went more towards us giving tips out to people, and I hope this does help anyone is listening. But Vols, what would be your final thing you'd say to someone if they're starting tennis or they've been, you know, they're an adult player now? What would be your number one advice to them?
I would say if you're interested on learning this sport, go for it. It's a very fun sport to play. Probably get a few private lessons in as well with a coach that you feel that's the right fit for you. But definitely, it's totally worth it. You're going to have so much fun competing with your friends or in group lessons, whatever it is, it's going to be fun.
Yeah, sure. Marty, what would you say?
Yeah, no, great point there, Vols. I would say, you know, go for it because you might even learn some life skills that you didn't have, even if you're an adult. You know, I've seen people become more independent from playing tennis and built courage to do other things in life just because they joined a sport where they had to be alone and resolve for themselves. So even you're getting exercise and on top of that, you're learning life skills, I think it's a pretty good bang for your buck. So go for it.
Yeah. And I think, you know, it's a life, It's a life sport. You can play it for life. I mean, you can play it in any form as slow as you need to. My dad always reminds me, there was one day when I was super young and I was playing with him, and there was a group of ladies who must have been in their 80s, and they were playing on a Saturday morning and having a great time doing it. Could hardly move, but were having a great time doing it, right? And that's the beauty of tennis. You can do that. Even when you're in, when your body is not as agile as it used to be, you can still go out there and have some fun with it. But yeah. And I think for me, the biggest thing I would say is start slow and just take it one day at a time and just enjoy the process of getting better, and don't expect to be good overnight. Just enjoy this. You've got this thing that you can take and you can get better at. You can always get better. No matter what age you are, you can always improve in whatever you're doing. So, right, boys. Well, I appreciate you, your time this evening. And I really do, if anyone who is listening, I really do hope this helped. And stay tuned, because we'll be back next week with another episode. I'll see you later, boys.
Sweet.
See you, boys.
Everybody, have a good one.
See ya.
Bye-bye.